Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program, Frank McGuigan, who's President and Chief Operating Officer at Transplace. And today we're going to talk about transportation in 2017, trends and challenges to really keep an eye on in this coming year. Now, if there's one thing about that's true about the transportation industry, it's that there's never a dull moment in this industry. With so many things going on the regulatory front, and the technology front, on the competitive front. So really trying to keep a pulse of what's happening is something that's vitally important, obviously for shippers, but for everyone in the industry, carriers, logistics service providers, and all stakeholders that are involved in transportation. So it's great to have Frank back on the program. Obviously, in his role there at Transplace, he's got a front line. He's in the front lines of what's happening in the industry every day, working with shippers and carriers and others in the industry. So today we're going to talk about some of the, those important trends and challenges that are on the road ahead for everyone in the industry and kind of get his perspective on what's happening and maybe what companies should be doing about it in response. So Frank, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Adrian, and thanks for having me today. At least we can say we live in interesting times.
That's for sure. And so let's go right to it. And certainly this week was an interesting time. We're a week into a new presidency, a new administration here in the United States. And there's already a lot of things that were talked about during the campaign has already kind of come to fruition or is starting to come to fruition, just in week one. We saw the president and the administration kind of officially pull out of, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. Which I think wasn't a surprise because a lot of folks, that was talked about extensively prior to the election. But then we also saw, things happening this week with between the U.S. and Mexico, and certainly discussions with NAFTA and talks about renegotiating NAFTA or maybe putting a border tax, for goods coming into from Mexico and things like that. So, I mean, when you look at what's happening in the short 1 week so far, but certainly things that have been talked about and it's being talked about that might happen this year, I mean, what impact could these moves have on manufacturing and transportation in the U.S. Moving forward here?
Well, a couple of points. First of all, it's not often that the evening news has a direct correlation to what's going on in my industry. So it does provide fodder for the McGuigan family to have conversation about the impact of geopolitics and supply chain. That's number one. Number two is, we could talk about near-term impact. I don't anticipate a near-term impact, and I would urge everybody to allow this process to take shape. While it is disconcerting some of the rhetoric that's in the marketplace right now, I know that Mexico and Canada, to take North America as a starting point, are our two largest exporting partners. We have very good export relationships with those companies. Those relationships create a lot of jobs in the United States, and I don't think there's any real interest in creating significant change in that part of the relationship. I do believe ultimately with TPP, that does not mean we're not going to be trade partners with the eastern part of the world or Asia. I think it more means that we won't be signing a large and comprehensive trade pact with a region. I think we'll rely on individual relationships with trading partners in those regions, and that might happen with NAFTA as well. It is way too early to say, it appears we're just trying to currently take a look at all these deals and see if there's a better deal for the United States. Again, that said, with our current export relationships with Mexico and Canada, there is a balance there. And as it relates to near-term impact, I would suspect that supply chain, global supply chain leaders are beginning to think about the impact of tariffs, the impact of those tariffs on their cost of goods. Are you looking at a supplier imbalance? Are you looking at the need to renegotiate and re-engineer your supplier network as these tariffs might come into play? I think those are real issues. And then Obviously, there are corresponding logistics issues that would go with that re-engineering and re-procurement of your supplier base. So I do think that this will take time. And again, will not have significant 2017 impact on the U.S. logistics networks.
You know, I think one of the things that you touched upon that I certainly recommended, you know, to shippers in my predictions for 2017 is that because of this kind of growing uncertainty, not really knowing what's going to happen. I think you're right. I think it's still too early in the process here to really understand what's going on. But I think it's prudent for companies, whether they're shippers, manufacturers, retailers, even logistics companies, to really do their homework up front, if you will, right? Kind of go through these what if analysis and understand what the potential impact would be if there was a 20% tariff on, sure, you know, imports. If, you know, more manufacturing as a result came to the United States, if, you know, you name the potential impact, that way they're prepared for whatever scenario might turn out to be reality versus, you know, taking an after the fact, you know, approach. So do you agree with that in terms of at least at a minimum, companies should at least run through those what if scenarios?
And so, yes, I think the you know, the terms total landed cost and supply chain risk management probably are front and center to most recently in the minds of many global supply chain leaders. And there are going to be factors and there are going to be variables that they're going to have to plan for that they didn't think of before. And so this is different than a natural disaster or something where or something occurs in a part of the world that you can't control. If you do nothing, this has an impact on the cost of your business and the cost of your product. And you need to start thinking about a market competitive forces more than a diversification of your supply base.
You know, another, you know, a topic that's always top of mind for a lot of logistics executives in the industry, that is regulations. You know, over the past few years, we've seen a lot of discussion around CSA and hours of service, you know, a lot of buzz last year and discussion last year around ELDs. I actually had your colleague, Ben Cubitt, on the program a few weeks back, you know, talking about that. And those are all things that have been, again, debated, discussed, you know, surveyed, researched, so on and so forth. And will continue, obviously, to have some impact, you know, moving forward. One of my predictions for 2017 was that the next new topic of conversation in the trucking industry would be, you know, obstructive sleep apnea and whether to have regulations in that front or not. I mean, do you agree with that sleep apnea is going to get more attention in the coming year? And or are there other, you know, regulations that you think that are on the horizon that can impact the transportation industry this year and beyond?
I think that we have spent a lot of time talking about CSA, hours of service, and ELDs, and I did enjoy reading my colleague Ben Cubitt's update on your site yesterday as it relates to ELDs. As it relates to obstructive sleep apnea, we believe that there is a statistical correlation between that and the trucking accidents that are occurring. We do believe that this is an issue. What does all of that mean? You know, and so if you read some of what's been written about that, it does appear that we're trending towards something that would have testing for this, not only for truck drivers, but for bus drivers and for train operators and for crane operators, et cetera. Probably not a bad idea, but they're like all regulation, you have to understand the impact on the business of these regulations. And so as an example, it's one thing to test for that, but who pays for the test? And then once, if OSA is actually detected, what does that actually mean? Does that mean a driver can no longer drive, or does that mean a driver has to have treatment and be tested ongoing to ensure that he's actually receiving that treatment in order to drive? And all of those things cost money, and who ends up paying for that? If you have the driver pay for it, then it's going to make a ever-dwindling population of drivers even less attracted to go into the driving space. If you have the carrier pay for it, then obviously it has an impact on their always increasing cost and therefore the ultimate cost of transportation. Ultimately, everybody can align around safety. This is a real issue that harms and many Americans. And so to the extent that we move towards regulation in this area, my expectation is that it wouldn't prevent drivers, but it might require ongoing treatment. The last point I would make is that was last year. What does this year really bring? And so are we going to be in more, is this administration going to introduce more regulation into our industry or less? And I think that remains to be seen.
A lot of good questions around the, obstructive sleep apnea, surrounding that topic, right? It goes beyond just the testing, but the cost and the implications for, the availability of drivers and things like that. So right. Certainly, again, regulation is something that I think everyone in the industry needs to, keep a pulse on.
Sure.
Shifting gears now to kind of the other topic that's always top of mind. There's always the rates and what's going to happen with rates and things like that. But related to rates is capacity, right?
Sure.
And something that's top of mind for transportation executives. I mean, how would you characterize, capacity today? Is it tightening? Is it loosening? Is it staying the same? And what do you expect will happen in kind of the months ahead?
The constant conversation on capacity. And so what Transplace did more than 100 bids last year, procuring more than a couple of $1 billion of freight for their customers. And we found savings, truckload savings, in those bids all the way through the end of the year. That said, if you look at some of the indexes, Morgan Stanley's being one that we follow fairly closely, it suggests that there is a tightening of capacity versus demand, and therefore, if the economy continues to heat up, and we do see different variables in the economy, including the ISM index in the fourth quarter, that suggests it is heating up. If we have continued growth in 2017 along that trend line, we expect capacity to tighten and there to be upwards pressure on rates, and so. That's what we're seeing right now. We have had the benefits. Shippers had the benefits of lower fuel and abundant capacity for the last 18 months. I do believe, and we are seeing a tightening of that. And so the question that shippers need to ask themselves are, what did they do during that time of abundant capacity to prepare for a time of less abundant capacity, right? And so it's something that we've challenged our shippers with over the last 12 months. And that is these are times to re-engineer your network. These are times to test the modes and see if there are better mode opportunities. And these are times to secure your relationships with your carriers and not constantly bid them out. Find the value in their network with the value of your network.
Everyone. I think certainly last year you saw a lot of, actions by the carrier community to kind of take equipment off and really take actions to try to constrain that capacity a little bit to firm up the rates. But like you said, all the indicators, whether it's, manufacturing and others kind of do suggest that, if those trends continue, that capacity, ought to tighten in this coming year. And I think it all goes back to, how well, how strong and how productive and how collaborative have your relationships been over the past year. And that will in many ways dictate, the position that you'll find yourself in, moving forward.
Yeah, we think so. And so again, if you haven't challenged your current state in the last year through engineering, procurement, relationship management at the carrier level, optimization of your network, then you missed a very good opportunity to do that. There's still time, but you need to act and be more proactive.
Great. Well, let's talk now about some emerging things in the industry. I mean, over the past couple of years, there's been a lot of buzz and hype about so-called Uber for trucking companies that are looking to you know, disrupt the status quo in transportation. You know, with you see the likes of Amazon and Uber being kind of the latest entrants into mm-hmm. the frame here. I mean, what impact are these new entrants having on the market, and how should, you know, existing service providers and shippers respond?
You know, so I think, first of all, there has been little impact in 2016 of autonomous drivers, Uber for trucking, the promise of Amazon to be a larger player in brokerage. I think they're interesting trends, and there certainly is a voracious appetite for information on all of these trends. You know, one of the ones that I find most exciting is autonomous drivers or autonomous trucks. And so we have spoken, and you and I have personally spoken about the ongoing driver shortage in this industry for a decade. And so the possibilities associated and the value to both shippers and trucking companies of getting greater asset utilization, not having assets sitting without a driver under them because of a tough driver hiring year or high attrition year for the carrier community, is a promise that is very interesting to those carriers and to the shippers. Of course, we are probably talking 5+ years away, and we're also probably talking, we are talking about a significant cost associated with that technology in these units. But I believe that will have a significant impact on capacity over the long haul. As it relates to Uber, we will actually, we will see Uber with our shippers this year. And so they have worked to get into our routing guides. And so we'll be able to actually see the performance of that carrier this year, and we're excited about it. While the concept of automated brokerage and reducing system miles, the 15-20% of gross system miles that occurs throughout this U.S., these really aren't new concepts. Anything that brings value to the shipping community, we are all for. And if there is innovation there that is going to drive value, we look forward to learning more about it. And so there's been a lot of information on that. We will actually see performance this year.
Right. I think a lot remains to be seen, you know, in this whole area. But obviously, there's so much opportunity in the transportation arena in terms of, you know, to improve efficiencies, improve, you know, cost performance, so on and so forth. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, the success of every logistics provider, whether you're an established player or you're a you know, new entrant, is going to be, you know, are you providing value, right? And are you developing the right relationships with the shipper community as well as the carrier communities? Because the carriers are important here too, right? So they have to you know, buy into and you know, see a value proposition and a benefit as well in order to, you know, be successful here.
We agree with that, Adrian, and so. The, you know, everybody gets excited just by the term Uber because of the positive experience they've had in hailing transportation while in New York City or any other major metropolitan area, and the impact that that has had from a cost standpoint and a capacity standpoint in that particular arena. They're not really adding capacity right now, to my knowledge, in a network. We're hoping, and we think there is value in grinding out the waste in the system, right? But with that, there's a requirement of a tremendous amount of collaboration between the shipping community and the highly fragmented carrier community to make all that work. And so it is, again, we're excited about the potential innovation there. And we look forward to hopefully being a party to delivering some of that to our shippers in the years to come.
Yeah, no, right. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, what I like to tell folks sometimes is, you know, it takes a lot more than an app to succeed in this industry, right? So it's if it was that easy, you know, I think many would have done it already. So let's talk about another area of technology that's not necessarily new, but that's still, you know, a lot of innovation still taking place in, and that's the transportation management you know, systems. Sure. I mean, what new capabilities are customers asking for on the TMS front, and what benefits are these solutions providing now?
So if you look at, and I'm basing my response on what our customers are asking for and what our new customers in the last year have been asking for. And there's been a tremendous amount of request for, excuse me, real-time visibility of shipments. And so there is, we have, and we continue to work with third-party providers to integrate their technology and what they're doing with individual carriers into our TMS to provide real-time status updates into carriers. It's been large demand, especially in intensive industries like CPG, where you can take that information, you can plan, certainly plan better, but you can also manage your customer relationships better and be more proactive as it relates to into supplying them, but also perhaps even minimizing your safety stocks because you have this visibility. So these are exciting times there for sure. There's a there's also a real correlation between that and a voracious appetite for real-time data, you know, whether it's real-time metrics and performance. And we have, as a company, invested significantly in putting different dashboards in place for companies to actually see live performance on what is going on in their network. And you couple that with the expanding need of our major shippers, especially in the CPG and chemical space, to have a continental solution versus a regional solution or even a U.S. solution. They're looking for more control tower capability because of the free flow of goods back and forth between the countries in North America. So we have spent a lot of time in the last 2 years investing in all those capabilities, investing in our ability to offer trade compliance as well, so that they can come to Transplace and really own their North American and have visibility to everything that goes on in North America for all modes, including custom trade compliance. So a lot of interest in that area, a lot of investment in that area. And the payoff and the value is again, linking all those things together. You're certainly driving empty miles out of your network. It's giving you the ability to procure more effectively and with a greater sense of engineering, with a greater data and engineering going into that procurement exercise. But ultimately what's happening so that you have the best possible service cost mode and mix. Obviously, we're getting challenged. More and more customers are taking ownership of their inbound as well. So creating supplier portals, creating inbound optimization networks, and on top of that, creating cross-customer networks. And so Transplace has done a terrific job over the last decade of intra-customer optimization, engineering across the network, whether it's supply points and transportation points. But now there's significant value, and we're delivering significant value in cross-customer collaboration through our TransMatch program, and the community is quite pleased to have it.
Yeah, that's great. You know, great to hear on that last point, because obviously, you know, there's always been a lot of discussion about, you know, collaborative transportation management, you know, for as long as I've been in the industry, you know, 18 plus years. And, you know, I think you've seen pockets of success throughout the years here, but I've always been of the opinion that because of what's happening in the transportation world today, you know, there's less room for margin for error. There's more, pressure on meeting more, you know, shrinking time windows, you know, capacity constraints, you name it. All right. I think all of that is serving as a catalyst for, you know, some of those hurdles that have existed in the past to, you know, for shippers to collaborate via the help of a third party partner. Those hurdles are starting to come down, you know, for sure, in terms of helping, you know, shippers accomplish those goals.
No, we think so. So certainly greater acceptance by the shipping community, number one. Number two is, I think we both know that cross-network collaboration or cross-network optimization has always existed, but it hasn't been visible, and the value delivered back to the shipping community has been, it's either been that value has been derived and kept by the brokerage community or the LTL community, et cetera. And the shippers want a greater piece of that action. through using a third party and technology to find that value and deliver it back to them.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, Frank, we're running short on time here. So I'm just going to go right to my last question. You know, as a way to wrap up, you know, in light of all the trends we talked about today and many more that we didn't get a chance to talk about today, I mean, what action should shippers, you know, take in the days ahead to make sure that, you know, they're able to respond effectively to whatever, you know, twists and turns the market might take this year?
We talked, and our expectation is that the market doesn't take significant twists and turns this year. But I do think that from a general standpoint, carrier or shippers will feel the pressure of capacity. And that is our expectation. And we think the fundamentals point to that being the case. There is still time to engineer. There is still time to look at mode shift. There is still time to get and use a third party to bring greater relationships to your company in order to drive cost out and prepare for a time that is that's a little bit leaner than it has been over the last 18 months. So we are through, or I won't say we're through the winter because you still live in Boston and I'm in Texas and it feels like we're almost through the winter. But we certainly won't have the impact of a polar vortex this year. We're looking about 45 more days of actual winter. And that obviously won't have a hangover effect like it did a few years ago on the entire logistics network and infrastructure. We believe that there will actually be real supply and demand forces at play later in the year. And I would urge shippers to challenge, if they haven't really challenged their assumptions and their actions in 2016, they need to do it quickly.
A lot of great words of advice there. And, you know, on that note, you know, in terms of challenge the status quo, challenge, you know, what you've been doing and always questioning, is there room for improvement? I think those are, you know, the constant things that shippers ought to be asking because, you know, it's hard to predict what's going to happen, you know, out there. But I think, you know, as you noted, there are some clear indications of capacity tightening, clear indications of other factors that will certainly have a role to play here in the weeks and months ahead. So with that, Frank, you know, thank you very much for making the time to, you know, share your thoughts and perspective today.
Always a pleasure, Adrian. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Great. And I want to thank those of you that joined us today. If you're watching this episode on demand, either on the Transplace website or the Talking Logistics website, and you've got a question or a comment for Frank, I'm sure you can post it via that medium, and I'm sure that Frank will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you very much for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.